Smiley's rooting for everybody black. Everybody black. Black. More of Tavis Smiley coming your way right now. Right now. Right now.
I enjoyed immensely that conversation with Janelle Stevens, and now for a conversation that is a bit more sobering. Humanity is on the precipice of a great climate migration, and Americans will not be spared. Tens of millions of people are likely to be driven from the places that they now call home. Poor communities, made up of black and brown people, will be left behind, while growth will surge in the cities and regions most attractive to climate refugees. America will be changed utterly. Abram Lustgarten's new book, On the Move, The Overheating Earth and the Uprooting of America, is the definitive account of what this massive population shift is going to look like. Hear me now. As he shows in this book, the U.S. will be rendered unrecognizable by four unstoppable forces: wildfires in the West, frequent flooding in the coastal regions, extreme heat and humidity in the South, and droughts that will make farming all but impossible across much of the nation. He has been reporting from the front lines of climate migration for quite a while, and I'm pleased to have him on this program to discuss his new book. It's called, once again, On the Move, The Overheating Earth and the Uprooting of America. This conversation is part of our continuing and year-long focus on climate justice, and I'm pleased to have Abram on this program. Abram, how are you today, sir?
I'm good. How are you? Thanks for having me.
Good to have you, man. If I complained, I'd be an ingrate. Delighted to be in conversation with you. This is scary stuff, and I wrestle all the time as we're in the midst, I mentioned earlier, of a year-long climate justice campaign at my home station in L.A. We're syndicated across the country, but in L.A., KBLA Talk 1580 is in the midst of a multi-million dollar climate justice campaign aimed specifically and unapologetically at black people, at poor people, that community, as you well know, who are the disproportionate victims of these climate catastrophes and climate maladies, but have been left too much out of this conversation. So we're trying to flip the script and change that with a variety of things that we're doing throughout the year. That said, this conversation fits right into what we're doing at my home station, but for that matter, across the country, this stuff matters. I say all that to ask how you get people to pay attention to a storyline that is not sexy, but also scary at the same time.
Well, I think we're at a point where it's in everyone's interest to kind of pay attention and balance the scales. And when, you know, in terms of climate justice, in terms of climate migration, what I think of is, you know, how cities are going to be transformed and rapidly urbanized. And if you can't attend to all people, you know, equally with the kind of issues and burdens that are coming, then you're only going to have, you know, greater pressure and greater conflict within those communities. And I don't think that that's in anybody's interest economically or socially, and so how you get them to pay attention. I try to tell stories of real people and the difficult decisions and challenges that they're facing, and not in a hyperbolic way, like this is so scary, you know, here's a horror story, but in a way that sympathizes with the very human challenges and nuances of these kinds of issues.
Let's talk then about the uprooting of America, specifically these four unstoppable forces that I mentioned earlier. Talk to me about those four, please.
Yeah, so I collected data to look geographically at the primary, you know, forces pushing geographically on the United States. And we have wildfires coming from the West, but also a bit in the Southeast. We have sea level rise on all of our coasts. We have hurricanes, increasing in severity in the Gulf Coast region and the Southeast in particular. We have, drought across the Midwest, which is also affecting crop yields and farming, both across the Midwest, but also south in Arizona and Texas and places like that. And heat, just rising heat, which naturally, you know, is more severe in the South. And together, these things are kind of squeezing the country from the outside. And you could imagine that the relief direction is towards the north, which is what, you know, the models and the climate data that I'm looking at suggest that, these conditions will be a little less severe in the upper Midwest and the northern Great Lakes region. And so that's the general hypothesis here, is that we get a squeezing of the country and a movement of population from those high-risk places in the south and the west, more towards the north and the northeast.
And what happens then, Auburn, when people start being driven from the places that they do call home?
Well, migration is a complex thing, right? So I'm not trying to paint a picture of a total evacuation of certain places or of, you know, American refugees per se. But there is displacement, and that displacement can be from a severe storm or an event, or it can be from this slow moving, you know, oppressive effect of something like rising heat in downtown Los Angeles that just becomes intolerable, or in downtown Phoenix. And that will push people to seek a different situation, and not just for environmental reasons, but maybe because it's also combined with economic opportunity or a family tie or a connection in a new place. And that's kind of how migration happens. But the risk is, if those receiving communities don't prepare for that in lots of different ways, there's policy implications, but, you know, prepare for it in terms of having capacity or infrastructure, or to prevent gentrification, or just socially to allow different communities to get along, then you get conflict, and you get conflict between black and white communities, rich and poor communities, new and old communities, people competing for jobs and so forth. So I think that, you know, my number one message, you know, in writing this book is that this is going to require some forethought and some preparation. It doesn't have to be terrible, but it will require some preparation.
I was struck by the use of your phrase, climate refugees. When we think of refugees, we tend to think of, well, you know what we think of, or in other parts around the globe. But it is the case, if your argument is correct, and all the evidence suggests that it is, that we will have climate refugees inside this country.
Yeah, we do now. I use refugees in the colloquial term, right?
Sure, it's a legal
term. We're not talking about refugees from conflict that meet the UN definition, but refugees that are pushed out of a place that they would, you know, call home. Mm-hmm. I spent a lot of time reporting in southern Louisiana, for example, which is a place where you can see the amplified effects of sea level rise, because the ground is subsiding at the same time the sea level is rising. And so the effects are happening faster. And that is already displacing indigenous and black communities, especially. Everybody's familiar with Hurricane Katrina, you know, so long ago, but that was mm-hmm. the start of a migratory push. And ever since, in the 20 years since then, near 20 years since then, you know, the population of the southernmost parishes in Louisiana have decreased, and those people have been moving northward. I spent time in a community, an indigenous community in Louisiana called Ile de Jean Charles, where the residents there have literally been displaced. Their homes are underwater, and a government resettlement program has moved them northward to, you know, it's not an encampment, it's new homes. It's sort of nice, but it's not the home that they chose or the home that they came from. And similarly, spent time in a community called Slidell, Louisiana, which is really this crossroads. It's seeing wealthier white people move out of New Orleans and move north, and displacing for black people who have been there for literally hundreds of years, whose homes are in lower lying areas, or who can't afford to rebuild after flooding and things like that. So it's sort of a picture of this sort of refugee displacement in the United States.
No, and there's the rub. Therein lies the rub, which we'll talk about when we come forward, because if we're all going to end up, all of us as in American citizens in certain regions, if we're all going to end up being displaced, forced out of the places that we call home, if we're all going to end up being climate refugees, there is a clear distinction that those who have money, those with the resources, will have the capacity, the ability to relocate themselves, even if it means pushing other folk out who've been there for eons. The problem is that the poor people, the black and brown people of this country, will not have the resources to relocate themselves as others will. And it's a problem. You can see, you ain't got to be a rocket scientist. You ain't got to be Abram Lustgarten to understand why this climate migration is about to become a major issue in this country. More about it when we come forward on Tavis Smiley.
From the Merck Park with love, this is Tavis Smiley. More honesty than you can handle. More empowerment than you can imagine. You're tuned in to Tavis Smiley.
Tavis Smiley and Abram Lustgarten, whose new book is called On the Move, The Overheating Earth and the Uprooting of America, part of our continuing and year-long series on climate justice on this program. I don't need to tell you, Abram, there are too many people in this country, some of them happen to be elected officials in Washington, no less, who don't believe the science, won't accept the science. So let me just ask you, even when they read books like these, they don't want to believe the science or accept it. How much of this is man-made, and how much of this is damage that is already irreparable?
Climate change is man-made. That's the scientific consensus, unambiguously. Everyone who pays attention to it agrees with that, regardless of their politics. And you know, a good bit of it is already in motion and cannot be reversed because of the emissions that we have already collectively put into the atmosphere. But there is a dramatic difference that can be achieved in cutting emissions now. So that's to say, like, none of us should feel like there is no work to be done, or that these results are a foregone conclusion. What we do next really matters. If we cut emissions right now, it will slow the rate of warming. And in the models that I used, it will also dramatically cut the number of displaced people, the number of potential climate migrants.
Tell me more then specifically about what the mandate is in this particular American moment. What is the mandate?
Well, we need to cut our emissions as absolutely quickly as we possibly can on the mitigation side, that is to slow the rate of warming, right? So all of the things that you're hearing in current policy to reduce emissions, shifting to renewable energy, shifting to electric appliances at home, all of those things help. I am also very focused on adapting to the change that is already coming, and I really think this is equally important. And, you know, in the context of our conversation in terms of climate justice, what that means is growing cities and preparing, you know, for the movement of populations and protecting those populations kind of in the same ways that we've needed to do for generations now, but have been fallen behind in doing, but more urgently now. So, you know, we need better housing and fair housing, and we need tax structures that, you know, keep people, you know, in their communities, so they're not displaced by, you know, by rising values and gentrification. You need good public transportation. You need safe building materials that are available to people of all economic classes that can, you know, either cool their homes in the summer, you know, or heat them in the winter. And so these sort of basic investments are becoming more and more important, because what we see with climate's effects in the United States and elsewhere, but in the United States, is that it's just dividing, you know, the vulnerable communities the same way they've always been divided, and it picks on those weakest spots and it exacerbates them. And so if, you know, if the inequities between rich and poor or black and white have been, you know, vulnerabilities in the past, the warming and the climate, you know, impact are taking those same vulnerabilities and amplifying them.
More about the urgency of now in our remaining moments with Abram Lustgarten, author of the new book On the Move, The Overheating Earth and the Uprooting of America, when we come forward on Tavis Smiley.
Unapologetically progressive. Unapologetically black. You're tapped into Tavis Smiley. Tavis Smiley. Helping to make you the most knowledgeable person in your circle of friends. This is Tavis Smiley.
That's exactly what I'm trying to do, make you the most knowledgeable person in your circle of friends, so you can pass on what you know to others, and you should pass on to others what you heard in this conversation with Abram Lustgarten, and share with them the name of his book. It's called On the Move, The Overheating Earth and the Uprooting of America. And in the 3 minutes I have left with Abram Lustgarten, I want to go back to something he said a moment ago about the way we can mitigate some of the damage that is coming if we act now. And you use a phrase that jumped out at me, Abram, when you suggested that what we need now are some basic investments in, and you ran the list of things that we need basic investments in as we reduce our emissions. But that term jumped out at me because you call them basic investments, and yet we fight over these things all the time politically, and I'm not sure that our body politic understands, much less accepts, what these basic investments are, and that we aren't moving fast enough to make them.
Well, I agree with you. And it's easy to be, pessimistic about those opportunities, except that I would say that, you know, there's a couple of bright spots. I focus a great deal in the book, an entire chapter, on the climate justice issues and use Los Angeles as an example. And there's a lot of problems around climate justice in Los Angeles. But, you know, a bright spot is the city's efforts, which I write about, to plant more trees across mm-hmm. the city, which is extraordinarily important to lowering the street temperature during heat waves in Black and brown communities, and has the literal effect of reducing, rates of mortality and cardiovascular deaths, for example. And so that's, that's the kind of effort that is being made and is effective, next to the long list of efforts that aren't being made. I spent a lot of time reporting for this book in the city of Atlanta, which is another sort of fascinating example. And, again, Atlanta's full of wins and losses in this, in this area, but it's done a lot to green the city and create a new beltline. And unfortunately, this new green park around the city of Atlanta has had the effect of leading to rapid gentrification in several Black communities that I spent time in, a neighborhood called Pittsburgh, for example, that has a really rich, Black history to it. And so now it's a little bit late, and it would have been better if this happened at the beginning. But now Atlanta is trying to reconceive how it taxes, appreciating property values so that it can protect the residents who are still there and not to have this sort of automatic displacement as they make, their city nicer. And those are the kinds of, thinking out of the box, approaches that I think are going to be critical to stabilizing communities, making investments that equalize communities in ways that have been needed for 20 years, but now they're more urgent and they have to happen faster.
Everybody agrees that Abram Lustgarten has written the best account of one of the least examined but most immediate consequences of climate change, and I'm particularly interested in it given the impact it will have on communities of color, hence the conversation with Abram Lustgarten on this program. The book, once again, is called On the Move, The Overheating Earth and the Uprooting of America. Abram, you've done some great work. Thank you for your work and your witness. Good to have you on this program, sir. All the best to you.
Thank you so much. Appreciate the conversation.
Good to have you on. More of Tavis Smiley when we come forward.